Hi, and welcome to Northwest Book Talk on KXRW 99.9 FM. I'm your host, Patty Grasher. As we move closer to the Northwest Book Fair and Media Fest, I want to share with you an earlier episode that I did with Jordan Fitch on how writers use live appearances to promote their books, build their platform, and engage with new readers. Now, Jordan is the author of The Cardinal Line, published in 2024, and his latest release, Nametown, published in 2025. In this episode, I was excited to get Jordan's insights on why live events matter, how they've helped him promote and sell his books. So stay with us, because I think you'll come away with practical tips and encouragement for your own book marketing journey. So welcome, Jordan, to the program.
Thanks so much, Patty. It's great to be on again.
So let's start off with, what was your very first live event, and what pushed you to do that?
So my first live event was the launch party for The Cardinal Line. And this was at Camas Sellers in Camas, Washington. And it was a big step in my author career, doing a live event with, you know, my name on the paper. And this was a great event with friends, family, and other neighbors coming in from the streets. And this was a place where it was at a Camas Sellers, which is a wine bar. The owner, she curated a wine flight to the characters and the themes of the book, which was kind of unique and pretty cool. So that's something that we got to, you know, enjoy during the launch event. So that was my first live event there, and I've done many since.
Yeah, that's a very fun thing that she actually, what do you call it, pushed your book through the draft or whatever beer that she created. So what are some of the challenges that you found in creating and attending live events?
Well, it's always important to keep expectations low. So, you know, not being a household author name, you never really know how many people are going to be there, or, you know, people who happen to be at live events, if they're going to be interested in your work or not. So, I find if I keep my expectations really low and just go, you know, with the intent of connecting with more readers, having good conversations, and perhaps getting a few sales, then I find that I walk away satisfied, you know, from these events. So, you know, like, certainly the challenges, like, I'm not a salesperson naturally. So I struggle, and that's something that I've had to work on, you know, convincing other people to, you know, part with their hard-earned money for a chance at reading my words. So, you know, not something that comes naturally to me. So it is a challenge, but, you know, just, you know, showing my enthusiasm with the work and, you know, hoping that readers will be able to connect. That's kind of what gets me through. And certainly, you know, the feedback that I get for those who have read the work is satisfying, or just the interest in, you know, the cover and the back, you know, the description of it, and, you know, excitement in reading it really means a lot to me. So I, you know, just getting that out of, you know, these events and connecting with new readers is something that's, you know, that's really satisfying to me.
Yeah, I can see that a live event would definitely take me out of my comfort zone. It does, but it also brings you closer to your reader. And I notice that you use your live events not only for connecting with readers at event, but you also use social media to prepare ahead of time, follow up. Tell me a little bit about your work with promoting your books, live events, and social media.
It all kind of comes together. It's all part of the same, you know, promo world that I, you know, kind of have to be part of if I'm going to try to get my work out there and get my name out there. So, you know, having the live events, I think it gives some credence to what I do, and kind of being, whether it's, you know, a solo event where it's just me, or it's a bigger author fair, you know, having that that B-roll with either photos and videos to use on the various social media platforms is fun, and it helps, and it, you know, drives engagement and comments. So that sort of marketing aspect of it, which I don't think anybody really enjoys that, but it's fun having some of that material. And you know, each event I do, I can, you know, have some new pictures and new video, you know, to kind of brighten the social media landscape for what I share.
So do you have someone helping you with the video at the event, or do you do it yourself? How do you do that?
Sometimes family or friends, if they're there, I'll say, "Hey, can you grab my phone and I take a video?" And I'll do that. Otherwise, it'll just be kind of selfie mode. So it really depends on where I am and what I'm taking pictures of. Sometimes it'll just be a picture of, my setup without me there. If I have somebody else who's willing to, be part of the game there, then I'll have something with me standing there.
Okay, so I noticed that you got a venue at Barnes and Nobles, and I thought, oh, wow, that's cool. How did you get that event?
So that one at the Barnes & Noble in Vancouver, I've been to two, and I have another one planned for November. I went in and talked to the store manager. Barnes & Noble is a little bit different than some of the other independent bookstores, but I just went and talked to the store manager. Showed her the books that I have out there. I had my books available through Ingram Spark, which is the main distributor for most libraries and bookstores around the country. So that was key. And then she talked about how they have a big audience of thriller readers. So my type of work matched up with the type of books that they sell there. And she thought it'd be a great thing. So they ordered some, and then I, showed up and had my table set up. That works a little bit differently than other kind of standalone events because they pre-purchase the books, and I'm basically there to sign them and talk to readers to help sell them. So I've done that. The other Typically, I will supply the books myself. I'll purchase them, through KDP or Ingram Spark, and I'll walk in with my own books and sell them directly. So that's a different type of sales, but through Barnes and Noble, basically there, then they check out at the register.
So how did that event go? And you have two more. How is it working with Barnes and Nobles versus other bookstore events, smaller bookstores?
Oh, it's great. So certainly Barnes and Noble gets more foot traffic than some of the smaller independent bookstores. It's great just to, be able to have a chance to engage with more readers. And so the first two went great, sold a great number of books, and they've invited me back for a third one. So I think that's a good sign. The way that works a little differently with other bookstores, for someone looking to kind of set up there, it's really going to vary by the store, whether you're bringing your own, if it's going to be like books on consignment, or if they're going to pre-order them like they do with Barnes and Noble. So for someone looking to, set up in a bookstore, that's just, part of the conversation you have ahead of time, how is it going to work here? How do you prefer to do this? For events outside, like a bookstore type of environment, it's pretty much, the author is responsible for the transaction. So for me, I want to make sure I have whatever venue the reader wants because I don't want to, lose sales because I don't have a certain payment method. So I have Square for credit cards and like Tap to Pay, and then cash and Venmo as well. So I just kind of a part of making like the prep is to make sure that, my Square card reader works. I have the appropriate change. I've been caught out before where I didn't have enough change, and I'm trying to make a sale and kind of scrambling to try to make change, and that's not a position that I want to be in. But that's part of the prep, and certainly more variety of sales transaction methods is gonna be better. But I find that having those three covers pretty much everything: card, Venmo, or cash.
For your presentation, I'm hooked on Barnes and Noble a little bit. What did you actually do for showing up?
They had a table there for me. So I brought in table. I have a custom book stand that I brought in pens, bookmarks, and I hadn't set up the table. So the books are staged there. I sat there by the entrance, talked to folks as they came in, if they were interested. And then if they were, then I would sign the books, give them a bookmark, and then they would take it to the checkout line and check out like any other book.
So that was pretty easy. You didn't have to give a talk or anything. You just were there. So that's cool. So tell us a little bit about your table setup.
So I have a few things. It's kind of evolved as I've gone through, added more things, taken away things that I didn't really seem to fit. So I have a custom book stand that I made just from random material like black pipe and wood that I cut out and set up and stained and painted. So it's like a kind of a rugged looking stand that I've gotten a lot of good comments on, where I have like two books facing, then a stack of books underneath. So that's kind of unique, and it's kind of eye-catching that I've gotten, some notes from readers as they walk around. So I have that. I have a tablecloth. I have bookmarks. I have custom bookmarks for both of my books. I have a sign-up sheet for my North Cabin Press newsletter for folks looking to get updates and want to, you know, join my subscription. And I typically have a little bowl of some nice chocolates, and then pens. And I think that's about it.
That's pretty good. So let's talk a tiny bit about your newsletter. How often do you send it out? What's it like? And how did you get started with that?
So I set up my website through Squarespace, and it has a newsletter component to it. So I send out, not super regularly, about once a month, just updates, you know, what I've done, what I'm working on, things like that. Certainly as I'm, you know, gearing up for a book launch, I'll send out more, you know, during quieter months, I don't send as much. I try to keep it substantial information. So I'm not sending out newsletter just to, you know, put words in front of people. I want to be able to say something and, you know, share something worthwhile. So I'm probably not as consistent with it as I should be, but it's something that is fun just to have that, to be able to reach the readers in other ways than social media, because nobody can really control social media and kind of who it reaches. But with my newsletter, that's something that I can control.
Yeah, so that's cool. So what event that you went to that was kind of like maybe the smallest event that you've ever attended?
There was a so small as far as turnout. I say there was a sort of book festival type event last year that probably wasn't, you know, super well advertised. You know, you ended up where a number of authors, maybe 20 or so authors, were like sitting inside, and very few readers showed up. So it was kind of like, you know, chatting with other authors, and, you know, I sold a few books, which is fine. But that was pretty sparsely attended. So that's kind of like ones that I try to look and see, you know, is this event being advertised? Is it, you know, in a good location where it's going to get foot traffic? I'm happy to set up and, you know, I talk to readers where I can, and it's always worth it. But certainly if I can find, you know, find ones where, you know, there is more likely attendance, then you know, I can reach more readers, and I find more value in that.
Jordan, let's go into how have you progressed with your live events? I'm sure the very first one was like, what do I do? Where do I go? That kind of thing. So how has your comfort level increased the more you do your live events?
I think I've found a balance between how like interactive I want to be. I think there's a scale, and I've seen both ends of the spectrum with other authors and other events where either, you know, the author will kind of just sit back and, you know, wait for potential readers, potential customers to come and ask them. I think that runs a risk of kind of showing disinterest sometimes. Or on the other end is people who are much more gregarious and kind of calling people over and being a bit more loud. And I think that can be a little overwhelming too. So like trying to find a balance there, and kind of having the comfort with, you know, how much you know, interact and engage with folks going by. Like I said, I'm not a natural salesman at all. So I'm just trying to find that comfort level, and also, you know, ensuring that someone who might potentially be interested is comfortable walking over and asking questions. And knowing that I'm here, you know, to answer questions about the book, talk about if they're interested. So like kind of finding that balance is something that does take a little time, but I think I've kind of found where I'm comfortable in that level.
So would you say that doing live events has actually kind of pepped you up to continue with your writing, that kind of a motivation to connect with readers and feel like what you're creating is being appreciated, and it kind of helps you go back to the writing?
Oh, absolutely. It's a great motivator for sure. Just hearing readers, you know, show enthusiasm about your work, and hearing readers who, you know, if they've already purchased it, they might be bringing in a book just to get signed and saying how much they like it. So that type of feedback, you know, is definitely a motivating factor for me. And, you know, certainly when somebody asks what I'm writing next, I hope to have a good answer. So yeah, definitely a factor that if I, you know, keep doing events, it keeps that motivation level up.
One of the things that I know is very important for book promotion is getting reviews. So do you find that you get people to respond better with going and leaving a review on like Amazon or other places once they meet you in person?
I think so, yeah. Like certainly asking for reviews, and that's something that is incredibly important for the algorithms and for expanding your work is leaving reviews on Amazon and Goodreads. So I always ask that. I've got some notes on my board at the tables, just kind of reminding people how important it is, especially for someone new to the scene to leave reviews because it does share that and convey. That it might be something that somebody else would like too. So I certainly ask for that. And it seems to help a little more asking in person than people who might not naturally leave a review otherwise.
Yeah. So I know you that you did an actual talk back in your hometown back in, was it New Jersey? Where you're from? I for
New
anyway,
Hampshire.
New Hampshire's. Okay. So anyway, what was it like creating that live event there, and how did it go?
It went great. So that was the first event where I was sort of a headliner for an evening talk. That was more of a talk than a book sale event. I've had other like book events where I'll do a reading or something like that, but this the focus was at a local library in Meriden, New Hampshire, near where I grew up. It was a local author night. So I spoke for about an hour, answered questions, and then at the end I had books for sale. So yeah, that was the first type of that event of that type that I had done. And I did some prep. I find that if I'm doing any sort of public speaking, I do better if I kind of just have some general notes and then just kind of riff from there rather than try to memorize anything. So that's kind of what I did for that. I had some topics, just general topics about reading in general and how reading is important to society, helps to build empathy. Helps to connect people in ways that outside of books is a lot harder to accomplish. So I had just some more general notes about that, not specifically about my work. But then I did answer a bunch of questions about my book and everything like that, and then sold some afterwards. So yeah, I thought it went fantastic. Had a great turnout. Had to bring in extra seats for the guests. So that's a great thing there. And it was the first event I had done on the East Coast there. And that same month, I had had a couple events here on the West Coast. So I call that my coast to coast book signing tour, technically.
For sure, for sure. So, do you plan to do some more talk events like that?
I would if the opportunity arose. I haven't really sought them out. It all takes time and energy. So, but I would be interested in doing something like that if opportunity arose at a local library or a club or something like that. But yeah, I just like to take advantage of any chance to get in front of other potential readers and kind of get my work out there more.
So tell me about some of these events. Do you have any particular connections with people that kind of remembered afterwards that they were somebody, let's say, maybe from your past, connected with you for the first time in a long time, or maybe it was something funny, or what's some of the events that maybe you remember long after the event?
Yeah, so there's plenty of times that I'll have people reach out that I haven't connected with for a long time. Certainly the talk you mentioned back in New Hampshire, I saw people that I hadn't seen for a decade or 2 decades. So it was great to connect with them again. And then like through social media, there's a lot of connections there. There's some folks that I've met in person, other writers, other prominent readers who have like a reading and review following that I've connected with. In person and then stayed in contact with through social media or the other way around too. I really enjoy when there's other folks that are thinking about writing a book or are perhaps in the process or they're taking courses for it and they ask questions kind of about the process and the inspiration and things like that. And I try to share some of the techniques that I have for when it comes to the craft of writing as well. So I always remember those type of engagements where people are generally interested and hopefully some of the advice and some of the experiences that I've had can help them in that journey.
Tell me a little bit about maybe the expense that goes into doing a live event. Is there something that makes that a deciding factor whether you're going to do one or not?
Sometimes, yeah. I mean, so most of the events that I've done are just kind of mutual between myself and the place of business. I've done a few different breweries and wineries, places like that, a few other bookstores, but there's typically no cost to set up there. But I'm also, like not getting paid to be there. So it's just kind of a set up a table in the corner. We'll advertise together, cross promote on social media. So the actual venue is usually no cost. The exception being like book fairs where you're paying for a table space. So sometimes there's that. And depending on the size and how that's organized, those costs can vary quite a bit. But for the events that are free to set up, after I have my material, there's really not much to it other than the travel there, the time. I have everything I need to set up in a box, so I just kind of bring that in, and that's all purchased already. So just the books at print cost from the printers, like whether that's Ingram Spark or KDP. So I have those, but there's really not much upfront cost after you kind of have the setup there. I've got to resupply myself with bookmarks, so there's a bunch of incidental costs like that. But overall, unless it's like a big name book fair, there's really not much upfront cost to it.
So, Jordan, what about the frequency of events that you do, the time that goes into it, how it affects your writing, your family life, and all that kind of stuff?
So I don't have any set schedule. I kind of schedule things ahead of time. Sometimes places will reach out to me to see when I have availability. If I'm looking to fill some time, I'll reach out to them to set something up. Usually it's set up a couple months in advance, so there's time to kind of prep for it and get some social media engagement. But I'd say I'd average about one or two a month. I've been more frequent in recent months, but overall, probably one or two a month that I've done over the last year or so on average. And yeah, it certainly takes time away from family and from writing and other things, but it's something that I get a lot of value out. So I do enjoy spending that time and meeting readers, and often my family comes with me, especially if it's a journey somewhere out of town. Then they'll come with and kind of hang out for a little bit, and then go do their own thing. So I can still spend time with family and friends, as I travel and do these events.
Have any social media tips that you might give somebody who is just starting out with doing a live event to bring in a crowd or at least a few people?
Probably not, because I'm still trying to figure out the social media angle myself. I mean, some people get great reaction. I get some pretty good like comments and feedback and engagement and everything, but certainly not to the level that other people do. So I'm probably not the best person to ask. But just in general, just be honest, be unique, be yourself. If you try to come across as like too formal or like too put together, like too polished, sometimes that's a turn off as well. So it's really just be yourself and put out the type of content that you would want to see, I'd say. But again, I'm not the most savvy when it comes to garnering social media engagement, so I might not be the best one to ask about
Well,
that.
I think you are in a sense that you show up consistently. Maybe not every Wednesday at 2 o'clock kind of thing, but you have a constant. At least you show up on my Instagram account, a lot. So I think that I think you take it a little more seriously than I think you are than you might think. But anyway, that's very cool. I would like to know just a bit more about your experience with TikTok.
TikTok is kind of a unique animal on the social media scene. So early book talk, there was a lot of really successful independent authors, had tremendous success. I've got a lot of engagement, met a lot of great people. I think that's one of the main advantages that I found, is just how many other readers and writers I've met through there. And it's really easy to go live and just have chats. I set up a TikTok shop where I can sell signed books out of my garage as well. So I've had some success with that. But it's also one where the algorithm is entirely unpredictable. You might ha put a bunch of effort into a video that you think is going to do well, and it gets no views, and and you'll have something that's just kind of a one-off, and it, goes viral. So it's really hard to predict and to put effort into the right areas, but it's a fun platform, and it's really dynamic, and a lot of people have had a lot of success, and I've certainly made some great connections through it.
So, as kind of a wind up, do you have any tips for somebody who's kind of on the edge of doing a live event or not? How worthwhile it is?
I mean, I would say it's absolutely worthwhile. It's a step to take that I know is difficult for a lot of people who aren't used to public speaking, engaging with strangers, especially when you're promoting, something that you've poured your heart and soul and perhaps many years into, and then hope that someone else is going to have the same interest that you are in it. So it's really a big step to take, and can be intimidating. But I'd say just try it. Try it on a small scale, or you could sort of practice with friends and family if that's something that you think might help you. But I think it's definitely worth it, and it's a important step, and especially for independent authors who are trying to kind of get their name to a wider audience. It's a great avenue to do that.
Yeah, I think you started off great by doing it, like you said, at a what was it called? Sellers, Canvas
Cellars
Sellers.
is a
Yeah,
winery
I
in
think
Canvas.
that's so cool because that's a very relaxed environment, and it would kind of be an easy way for anybody. Maybe not that kind of maybe not everybody's going to go to a brewery place or something, but they can find something that's just really low key and fun. Like you've said, sometimes, yeah,
Certainly,
make
yeah.
it the most fun, and then you kind of gradually build up as you go along. So,
Yep, and that was a great environment, and I've got to give credit to my wife for setting that one up, my first one, because we were had just moved to the area. We were there just getting some wine, and she's much more of an advocate for myself than I am. So she mentioned that to the owner, and then kind of went from there.
oh, that's great. That's great to have an advocate. Yeah, family's important. Sometimes they're willing to put you out yourself out there more than you are yourself. But Jordan, I want to thank you for being on the show. I think we've learned a lot. It's very fun. I really appreciate the fact that you do live events so many, and like you say, by keeping your expectations low, it takes away some of the fear or some of the disappointment that might happen.
Yeah, thanks so much, Patty. Thanks for having me on. It's been great talking to you. Take care.
Oh, great. All right. So that was Jordan Fitch sharing his experiences and insights on how he uses live events to connect with readers and build their platforms. To learn more about Jordan, his books, and additional resources, visit northwestbooktalk.com and search for Jordan, because we've had Jordan on twice, so look twice for his great talks and follow-up questions. I hope today's conversation gave you practical ideas and encouragement for your own journey. This has been Northwest Book Talk on KXRW 99.9 FM. I'm your host, Patty Gresher. Today, thanks so much for listening. Until next time, keep reading, keep writing, and keep connecting through books.
For over 20 years, Vancouver Family Magazine has been covering local news, recreation, travel, education, parenting, personalities, and more. We connect your family to people, places, ideas, organizations, helpful resources, and local stories. Pick up your copy every month at over 300 locations all around Clark County, or read online at vancouverfamilymagazine.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and X for even more local news and family fun at Vancouver Family.